I just want to take a catchphrase that's from a movie, and I want to sanctify this catchphrase. I'm not condoning the movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was pretty good. But I want to sanctify it, and I want us to just declare it going from 2020 into 2021. I can't say it like he said it in the movie, but you know it. Hasta la vista, baby. Say it with me, come on. Hasta. I think we first have to testify for just a moment, though, as we're gathered here and as we're coming out of 2020. We have to say with Samuel when he erected the memorial, and it was called Ebenezer Stone, and it means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. How many can say this morning that you're here today because the Lord has helped you and been with you? We went through some threatening trials, and we went through some rough tests, and we went through some rough storms, but how many of you are thankful we're here because the Lord helped us? On many accounts, it was a very difficult, challenging year. Physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, people had to navigate through things. And if some people looked across this audience this morning and looked across the church and what it took for some people even to be in the house of God this morning, they would tell you, the reason I'm here today is because the Lord helped me. How many of you are glad if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side? You went through some battles that were bigger than you, but you found out they were not bigger than your God. You went through some valleys that were deeper than you, but you found out that even though you did not know how to navigate and how you to get out by yourself, you found out he was not only the God of the mountaintops. How many of you are glad you found out he was the God of the valleys? You found out there was no depth of pain or sorrow that you found yourself in, but that God was right there with you. I know you've faced, many of you, some very crucial moments, some very defining moments and crucial and pivotal times in your life that caused you to wonder, how are you going to even take the very next step and put the next foot in front of you from this point? Your back was up against the wall and you did not know what you were going to do. But how many of you are glad to find out that God is your refuge and he is your fortress? You found out that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. You're here today because somehow God armed you with strength for the battle. And you found out the bigger the battle, the greater the strength and the greater the grace. You can say with the writer in Timothy, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This past year, you found out that God reigns in spite of pain. He reigns in spite of sorrow and tears and tragedy. He reigns in spite of being overwhelmed. And you would have fainted except you believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yes, we've done it a lot this morning, and I have a conservative praise that I used going through the day. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I have a clap that is cute. I have a tap with my foot that is, you know, tender. And I do that through the day. But how many of you know on this last Sunday, as Brother Sam mentioned, I believe that one more time we ought to just lift our voice. I heard the preacher one more time. I was watching last week with you. A radical praise, a ready praise, a rich praise. But on this last Sunday, going out and moving into next year, how many of you know how you exit one season is how you're going to enter the next season? And I believe we ought to let it go from our heart to our mouth one more time for this couple, for Sarah, for this church, for all that God has in store. Amen. Let's give the Lord one of the biggest shouts and praises that we can, because God brought us to the other side. Come on and love him and bless him and thank him for his goodness and mercy to us. Come on, church, bless his wonderful name. Come on and give him praise, honor, and glory. The Lord has helped us. You may be reseated. And here's why I'm keeping a praise. I am saying hasta la vista, baby, but I've got a praise in my heart because I know how I exit one season is how I enter the next. The future has more pull, has more to offer me than the past has to pull me. My destiny is a lot bigger than my past or this present moment. And I'm going to say something. I want to say it maybe twice, but I'm not going to downgrade my dreams to match my reality. I'm going to upgrade my faith to match my destiny. Come on, let me say it one more time. We're not going to downgrade our dreams to match our any circumstance or reality. We're going to upgrade our faith to match our destiny. Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things come to pass and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. The word new means something that you're unaccustomed to. It means something that is fresh, something that is new, something that you've never seen it done that way before. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now, everybody say now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, everything in your past, let me just tell you this, everything in your past was not about delay. It was not about denial, but it was about development and it was about demonstration because God wants you to know that whatever it is that's come against you or attacked you, God's going to demonstrate that he's the only one who could get you out of this. Man's skills, man's ability, man's intellect will fall short and will not get you out. But God wants you to know that his demonstration, you're going to see a God do great things in your life and you're going to step back and you're going to say, this was the Lord's doing. Isn't it marvelous in our eyes? God is placing a new expectation in you that declares with him all things are possible. God has already gone before us and made the crooked places straight. God has already brought down the mountains and exalted the valleys. Can I tell you, your best days are not behind you. Your best days are still in front of you because the path of the just is as a shining light and it doesn't get dimmer and dimmer. It gets brighter and brighter. Come on, somebody. The rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. What we've got to do, come on, hasta. First thing, for this to happen, we got to bring the past to a finality. Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind. What he's saying here is not letting those things have an influence over us or control us or dictate our future. To reach forth to those things that are before. Even though I cannot change where I've been, I can begin to position myself for where I am going and where God is taking me. It's not so much where I'm going as much as it is what I become in the process. I cannot undo what has been done, what has happened, or what has taken place, but I can learn from it. I can grow from it. I can be better because of it. It's not what I go through, but it's what I grow through. I will grow through what I went through. I'm not going to be held in bondage by anything. I'm going to value what I've went through, but I'm not going to be held captive by my past. My past circumstances do not determine my present reality or my future destiny. How many of you are glad you don't have to judge? Come on, you don't have to judge what's in your future by your past. I've been hurt long enough. I've been down long enough. I might have cried long enough. But now it's time to bring whatever happened in the past to a finality. 1 Kings 19, Elijah with a goodbye and a barbecue. He kissed the past goodbye. He kissed his family, killed the oxen, created a fire, and burned his plow. He was bringing a finality to the past. He was giving it completely over to God. And he was saying, Lord, I'm giving you my future. I'm giving you my past. Here I am. I'm going to make a clean break with the past, and I'm going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I make a clean break because I know you can take whatever's happened and turn around for your glory. There's a scripture I want you to look at. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 6. Right in the middle of the gifts of the Spirit, there's a phrase that says, and there are diversities in verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Everybody say this, say works all in all. It's the word energeo, the word works. It means that God has an endless stream of divine favor that is at work on your behalf. And it means this, at all times, in every season, and in every way, God is at work. I want you to get that down in your spirit. It means that every season, at all times, and in every way, God is at work. He works all in all. How many of you are glad it's God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure? He's the one who takes us from one season to another, from one level to the next, from one stage to another. God works all in all. He can work in a dream. He can work with a handkerchief on the Apostle Paul and people get healed. God can give you a vision in the middle of the day. God can mix clay and spit and bring eyesight to the blind. He can bring money out of a fish's mouth. He can multiply the loaves and the fishes. We can never limit or put God in a box, but we can know this, that no matter what we go through at all times, at all seasons, and in every place that we are, God is at work. Even when we don't see him, when we don't feel it, how many of you know God is still at work? He knows how to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around. God has opened up avenues of impartation. And I just want to say this over maybe somebody today, but I believe that God is about ready to dethrone any influence that has been hindering, limiting, or holding you back. And God will work to repel every influence of darkness back from your life and move you into a new season. I believe that God is stirring up that which the enemy has tried to nullify, try to deem insignificant, try to regulate to the sidelines. But what the enemy forgot is that God has avenues of impartation, endless streams of divine favor that he knows how to move, that he knows how to pour into your life. God doesn't have to, he doesn't ever leave it up to you when he gives you a promise to reach for it or grab it or have to grasp for it. If God gave you the promise, how many of you know God's going to back up what he said? How many of you believe if we can be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Don't try to figure out how it's going to work or how it's going to evolve. Just know this, that in every season, at all times, at all places, God is continually working. In the deepest valley of your life, in the deepest failures of your life, in the darkest night of your life, at the times you don't understand, and at the times when it doesn't seem like God is around, how many of you know you got to learn to trace him even when you got to learn to trust him even when you don't trace him? Genesis 50:20, what the devil meant for evil, God knows how to turn around and bring good. Romans 8:28, you almost get on that verse, but you back up to verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Here's why you want to kiss the past goodbye like Elijah did when he made a clean break. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For sometimes we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, with groanings that cannot be uttered. How many of you have ever been in such a situation, but the Holy Spirit comes in, he takes hold together with you against that of infirmity. And when you did not even know how to, something came against you that you just did not even have words to say. All you had was a groan from way down deep. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered? Inarticulate speech, a prayer language, if you will, even. All you could do was groan sometimes. But how many of you are thankful the Holy Spirit was there making intercession according to the will of God on your behalf? Here's why I give God my entire life. Because when I give it to him, even when I don't understand, the Holy Spirit comes and he knows how to help us, take hold together with us against an infirmity. He knows how to pray through us according to the will of God. And when he does, I want to tell you, verse 28 says, and then we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How many of you believe God is imparting endless streams of divine favor at all times, at all places, and in all circumstances to upgrade your experience, because you're going to be making a big difference in the life of so many people? Warfare is proof the enemy has discerned your future. He might come against you one way, but how many of you are glad he's going to have to flee seven different ways? Come on, number two is exit this year with intentionality. Don't just leave it up to whatever will be, will be. Let's position ourselves accurately. The Israelites are just about ready to enter into Canaan's land. The only problem was there was a Jordan River that was in front of them. And not only was there a river in front of them, it was the time that it was overflowing their banks. So look at just real quickly, Joshua 3 and verse 5 under this point. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. Will you help me preach? Everybody say sanctify. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders in your midst. Sanctify yourself. How many of you know we need God more than we need anything else in this world? And I want you to know, and I want to push this in, because it's not just about what God's going to do for us. It's about what God is doing on the inside of us. Sanctify ourselves. You know, as we leave this year and go into the next year, I believe it's so important. And I don't even have to stand up here and tell you a whole list of things. Every one of us knows when the Holy Spirit, and I believe he's already been at work in our lives, in your lives, showing you things that need to be cut off, showing you things that need to go. You don't need to have baggage from 2020 and carry that same baggage into 2021. Pastor Sam said a while ago, the same mentality can't be carried over. How many of you know we're not going to let the world's mentality become our reality? We're going to change and be transformed. The enemy wants to try to tell you, you know, it's okay. Keep going over here. And those lying voices, and how many of you know there are deceptive voices that try to tell you, keep doing this. It's going to be pretty. It's going to be good. This is what you want. But how many of you know in the end it's going to be empty? We will stop defeating ourselves when we stop deceiving ourselves. Hallelujah. Y'all help me preach this morning. How many of you know you'll always repeat what you fail to repent of? Everybody say sanctify yourself. Oh, y'all were shouting when I was talking about hasta la vista, baby, a minute ago. Come on. But this is how you say goodbye to the past. We're saying goodbye to some things that try to attach themselves to us that wasn't of God, that confined us, limited us. And we're saying, nope, I'm not going into 2021 the same as I came out of 2020. I don't even know, change is a door that opens from the inside out. When God shows you something, you will never correct what you're unwilling to confront. Those who want to take action will find a way, and those who don't will find an excuse. I believe I'm looking at some people who are saying, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about some things in my life, and I'm ready to sanctify myself. It's important to allow the Holy Spirit to create the capacity to experience God's blessings so that you will be prepared to retain the blessings when they come. I don't believe we need a New Year's resolution. I believe we need a New Year's revolution against everything that is holding us back from doing what God wants to do and where he wants to take us. Negotiation with the enemy at the table of compromise can no longer be tolerated, and spiritual passivity can no longer be permitted. Oh, come on. Yes, come on. Hallelujah. There's something that needs to happen right now. He said, sanctify yourself right now in the Hebrew. It means don't wait. Don't wait till this coming Thursday night. Don't wait till later. How many of you know we're always getting ready to get ready sometime? And how many of you know procrastination is the assassination of your destination? How many of you know right now he said, sanctify yourself? Why? Why? because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, acts that are so impressive that it will astonish those who are looking on. How many of you know you're not going to be relegated to the sidelines? But God is stirring a new thing on the inside of us. He's got an open door, a new beginning, a fresh wind, a new release of faith that will cause us to step into a new and a different experience than we've ever had before. 2021, I believe, is going to be a year of embarrassment to our opposition. I believe just like when Jesus rose from the dead, had the devil known what was going to happen, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Had the enemy known what was going to happen, can I just tell you, the church is not ever going down. The church is going over. Amen. How many of you know the gates of hell will never prevail against the church? Anything that you have been through up till now has only been preparing you for the promise and the experience that God has for you in the next season. The place of your greatest battle, I believe, is going to be the place of your greatest victory in your life. This is going to be a year of intentionality. Everybody say, acknowledge God's presence. Verse 3 and 4 of Joshua 3, it says that when you see the Ark of the Covenant, he's saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, then you're to, the priests are to bear it up and you're to go after it. To do that, they had to be observing. They had to be watching. They had to be alert. They had to be on their toes. They had to stay on point and not get sidetracked and not lose focus, to keep their spirit in a place where they could easily see God's leading, where they could easily see God's direction. And when God moved, they were ready to move. To see means to recognize, to perceive, to focus, and follow after. How many of you know God is ready for us to be watching and on our toes and focus on the presence of God? Verse 3 tells us that when they were to camp there for 3 days. And verse 15 tells us it was a time when it was overflowing its banks, the Jordan River. You might be going through some things right now that seem like a threat to your progress and potential. You're there for 3 days. There's the ark. There's the Jordan River overflowing. It looks intimidating, threatening, and overwhelming. There were no bridges. There were no boats to cross over the Jordan, but there it was. That was the only way to go across the Jordan, but it was overflowing. Let me tell you something. Our job is never to react to the darkness, but to respond to the Father. Sometimes you face what looks like to be the absence of an immediate breakthrough, but don't ever let that change your revelation of God's heart and God's nature that is toward you. He doesn't change ever. Oh, come on, somebody. Never be impressed with the size of the problem. Be impressed with the greatness of your God. And keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. There are some things that happen when you wait on God. 3 days, there it was. God said, I'm working on the inside of you. God is doing something greater in you than what he's going to do for you. Can I just tell somebody, it's not just where you're going, it's what you become in the process. God is teaching us to focus on him and not get our eyes off of his presence. It's not about the flooding that's around us. It's not about the circumstances around us. But God's saying, keep your eyes on the presence of God. You know why? In the waiting time, 3 days, you learn you have nothing to lean on but God in the waiting time. I can't trust myself. I can't trust my intellect. I can't trust my skills or my abilities. They're not going to get me out of this. Sometimes the floods lifted up their voices. Sometimes the floods lift up in Psalms 93. But how many of you glad the Lord on high is greater than the sound of many waters? Keep your eyes on the prize, on the presence. You realize you must hear God's voice in the waiting time. You can't worry about what this says or that circumstances say or this one says. You've got to tune into what God says I should do. The one and only focus you have right now going into 2021 is to focus on the presence of God. Get your eyes off the Jordan that is overflowing its banks and stay focused on the presence of God. And not only that, but keep yourself. He said there's to be a space between you and it, but keep yourself where you can see it. But he also said it this way because he says keep yourself in a place where you don't hinder someone else from seeing the presence of God. When whatever you're going through, you see, is not just about you. I learned this from Brother Sam. Good preaching, Brother Danny. Be at your post. Be faithful. Be praising God. Even when you don't feel like it, keep your hands lifted. Keep your mouth engaged. Because somebody else is watching you and they need to be encouraged. And then he said, because you have not passed this way before. You're not to focus on the way things are because it may look like the worst possible time for God to do anything. But in reality, it's the best possible time because God knows how to make a way out of no way. Oh, hallelujah. My wife is here and she did not grow up in a Christian home. She got saved at 16. She became a pastor's wife at age 21. When she was leaving for Bible school, her mom and dad looked at her and said, none of us have ever been to Bible school. None of our relatives have been to Bible school or college or any education. What makes you think you're supposed to go to Bible school? And she said, because God told me. They said, you don't have the money to go to Bible school. And she said, all I know, I was at Bethel Assembly in Cleburne, Texas. I gave my heart to God. And months later, God told me to go to Bible school. The circumstances didn't look anything like she should go. But she said, I'm going to obey the Lord. She packed up her stuff in her little green gremlin. I don't know if you remember those cars, but God help us. She drove from Cleburne to Waxahachie, Texas. She had no money. She had nothing but a word from God to go to Bible school. She got out, went to the registration line. How many classes you want to take? She said, I want to take 12 classes. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what I want to go toward. They said, okay, great, 12 classes. Okay, go over to this table, and there you can pay your bill. She didn't have a dime. But she kept on going in the line. She walked right over to the table. And they said, what is your name? She said, my name is Beverly Gossett. Great. How many hours are you taking? 12. Let's calculate that. It's going to be this amount of money. Oh, hold on just a second. I see here that your bill has been completely paid. To this day, she does not know how that bill got paid or who paid it. But I want to tell you, when God tells you to do something, you step out and do it. She not only got her education, but she got her man. Come on, somebody. Act in faith. I'm winding this down. It's not really faith until there's no other options to get through it but to trust completely in God. Chapter 3, verse 14 of Joshua, it says, the priest's feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. So God is many times going to ask you to do something when the circumstances look their very worst. Can I tell you, it's never a perfect time in the natural for a lot of things God tells us to do. It may look overwhelming and impossible, but it's right in the middle of what looks impossible that God comes with a promise. And he gives you a picture of what he's going to do in your life. If you look at this very carefully, we won't go into it, but in verse 13, God gave them a promise of exactly what was going to happen. He said, when the priests touch their foot in the Jordan River, it is going to roll back. And the Bible says in the next verse, they acted upon it. And so when the priests were told, now take the ark and begin to move. So they took the ark up and they started walking toward the Jordan River. While they were walking toward the Jordan River, the banks were still overflowing. Nothing changed, but they kept on walking. It looked like something had better happen very fast, but they kept on walking. We've got to remember, God is faithful, so we got to keep on walking. I'm headed because God said, move this direction. It may look like impossible, but I know this. I'm going to keep on walking. People might think, you are crazy. That looks foolish. What do you think you're doing? It doesn't matter. I already got a word from God, so I'm going to keep on walking. I have found out that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness, so I'm going to keep on walking. Well, I don't understand what's going on. It looks impossible. It may look impossible, but I'm going to keep on walking because God said it's time to go, and he gave me a picture in my mind about what is going to happen, and so I'm going to keep on walking. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I know this. He's never late. He's never early, but he's the God that is always right on time, so I'm going to keep on walking. And the Bible says when their toes touch the tip of the Jordan River, they kept on walking. And the minute their foot touched, wasn't before, it was when it touched, that the waters suddenly rolled back and they walked across on dry ground. Come on, somebody, you're going to keep on walking. Amen. How many is ready for a miracle shift in your circumstances, situations, your health, your finances, and your relationships? You may have soaked your pillow with tears in the middle of the night, but weeping endures for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I want to encourage somebody, just keep on walking. And affirm that God is at work right now. Now, what you got to see about this is awesome, because while you're walking, God is already working. He said, when God said, sanctify yourself for tomorrow, God will work wonders, that doesn't mean that God isn't working right now in your life. What you will see tomorrow, but you got to know the miracle is already in motion. Because 16 miles upstream was the city of Adam and Zarethan. And the Bible said that God started the miracle 16 miles upstream. Before it reached where they were at the Jordan River, it just happened to all be at the exact same time that God said move, but he already started way back then. Can I tell you, when you have a setback, don't ever take a step back, because God's got your comeback. When you are walking, when you are moving with the presence of God, when you are affirming what God said, always know this, that God is already at work. Even when you don't see it, when you don't feel it, he's already has the miracle in motion. The problems may still look overwhelming to you right now. It may still look impossible, but God is at work. When we built our church, it was in 2006, and we built our building. And in 2007, 2008, you remember what happened was the stock market crash. Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch all bottomed out. Millions of people lost their jobs. Millions of homes were lost. Many people lost their homes. And I remember saying, Lord, you told me to build this building 2005, 2006, and we did exactly what you said. And here so many people are hurting. What are we going to do? It looked like the worst possible time to build a church building. But right about that time, we had somebody come to our church. It was a gentleman, and he came in. I want to see the pastor. You know, we're busy, but somebody shows up. Sometimes you just let him in. So we let him in, and he said, Pastor, you're Pastor Danny? I said, yes. You own all this, your church owns all this property? I said, yes. He said, I just want you to know there's something called the Barnett Shale, and it's right up under your church. We're going to be drilling across the street, and we just wanted you to know that you're going to be getting a check from us for the next probably years to come. And I just wanted to stop by and hand you the first check that you'll be getting every month from now on. And I said, okay. I looked at the check, It had 000 behind it, zero. I went, every month? He said, every month, if that's all right with you, if you just sign right here, because you own all the mineral rights underneath the church does. I said, I got a pen right here, let's go. You know, I look at that situation and I don't know, but God told me to build a building. And I believe that thousands of years ago, God already moved gas and oil underneath, right where this young preacher was going to be building a building and had some gas and oil. Pastor Sam called me about 4 years later and said, Pastor Danny, by the way, are you still receiving checks from the Barnett Shell? I said, Brother Sam, I sure am. Hallelujah. How many of you know God is never late, he's never early, but he's right on time? Come on, give him a hand of praise, if you will. I want somebody to know in this room, God's trying to talk you out of your miracle, but in reality, he's very nervous right now because you're about ready to rise up. When the Canaanites saw how great that miracle was, the Bible said in chapter 5, verse 1, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. In other words, there was no more spirit in them when they saw what their God will do. Can I tell you, your God is a great and he's a mighty God this morning. The enemy knows God is on your side, and how many of you are glad if God be for us, who can be against us? My last point is look forward, resting in God's ability. It was because of this miracle, God said, you're to always think about what I did, because from now on, you're going to look back and see this miracle, and you're going to know that if I did it then, I'll do it now. Past victories are not where we drop anchor, but they are an encouragement for all of us that God has in the future. If God has already done anything for you in your past, we don't drop anchor there, but they are an encouragement for whatever we're going through now. Because how many of you know if God did it then, he'll do it now. How many can say with uplifted hand, God's been faithful to me? God has worked miracles in my life. How many know you can look back and you can give him praise this morning? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that can be trusted. He's a God that is faithful. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and know his mercies are new every morning. God, you brought me out of a dark valley right back 3 years ago, 2 years ago, last year. And God, I thank you for whatever I'm facing right now. No weapon ever formed against me is going to prosper. God, I thank you that you're going to bring me out. You're going to make a way where there is no way. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, and here's how God is toward you, church. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. I kind of think God wants us to get as excited about our future and about our destiny as God is about our future and our destiny, because God has great and mighty things in store. Your future has more to offer you than your past has to pull you. Can I just tell somebody right now, this is what the real fight is all about. I want to tell you, if the enemy can get you to throw in the towel now, he's won. But how many of you know the enemy is already defeated 2,000 years ago? I believe that God is about ready to launch us as a church. He's about ready to launch you individually. I just believe that last year was the launching pad, getting us ready, getting us in position, a ministry for a door to open, relationship to come into your life. It was a launching pad. You didn't go through what you went through just for nothing. There's a promise over your life and there's destiny over your life. God's about ready to launch you because he knows where he's going to land you. I said he knows he's about ready to launch you because he knows where he's going to land you. There's no reverse on a rocket. I believe it's time to take off and never look back again. The command center makes a proper systems check before the rocket lifts off. How many will help me with a systems check this morning? You just say check. Are you ready? Is there a promise in your heart? Is there a praise in your mouth right now? Is there an expectation of God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think? Is there a confidence that God is going to finish what he started? Is there a peace that passes all understanding? Are you ready to leave the old behind and move into everything that God has in store for your life? Are y'all ready to just count down from five and we're going to just say, hasta la vista, baby, and then we're going to give God praise. Y'all ready for it? God is going to cause my enemies to watch my liftoff. See, there's a parameter around my rocket. And he can only get so close he can't touch, but he's going to watch because God is launching me into a new realm, into a new level. I'm getting aligned with Command Central right now. See, what does that mean? It means this. God has exceeding greatness. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come. God is saying, I'm going to launch you. I don't know about you, but I'm identifying with Jesus this morning in his death on the cross, in his burial, but also in his resurrection. Because when he died on the cross, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. And when Jesus came up out of that tomb, I came out of that tomb with him. And when he ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, he said, Danny, I want you to be seated together with me in heavenly places. I'm launching right now and I'm ready to take off. Five. Y'all ready? Come on. We're leaving 2020, and we're going into 2021. I'm done. Final. I've learned a lot, but I'm not being held captive by anything of my past. Five, four, three. We're going to say hasta la vista, baby, and we're taking off, and we're going to give God all the praise, glory, and honor. Come on, five, four, three, two, one. Come on. Come on now, give him the praise that he deserves right now. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to him one more time and just say, God, I bless you. I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your wonderful works to the children of men. Holy Spirit, I thank you for breathing upon us this morning. I thank you for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit sweeping across our hearts and sweeping across our minds. And I thank you for what you have in store. Thank you for a new picture you're placing on the inside of us this morning. Lord, we just give you our life right now. And we thank you.